That's a sound of Yellow River, of course, from Christy. You're listening to East Point Radio, and it's fast approaching 10:45. Great to have the pleasure of your company, as always. And we've got some festive songs coming your way a little bit later on in the programme. And as always, at this time, 10:45 on a Monday, we'd like to speak to folks from across the East Anglian region. And today it's no exception, because it's my pleasure for me to welcome to the programme, as part of our series
Anglia
in Focus,
Neil Dodge, who's joining us from the Suffolk Guild of Ringers. Very good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
How are you? All right?
I'm very well, thank you.
Jolly good. Now, it's a very busy time of year that we're going into now, with all the peals of bells, which are absolutely wonderful to hear across the East Anglian countryside. And I'd imagine that things get pretty hectic from now onwards, doesn't it?
Oh yes, absolutely. It's, the Christmas season is one where the bells are very much the soundtrack of, so we're in great demand for various different reasons.
Yes, certainly. Now, I know you sent me some information about some traditional Christmas ringing in Ipswich on Saturday the 23rd of December. Do you want to tell us about that, first of all?
Certainly. So, for the last 20 years, it's become a tradition that all the bells in Ipswich are rung on the Saturday before Christmas. To again that grand soundtrack of the season, and to remind people of as they go about their shopping, the connection between Christmas and of course the church. So yes, we will be ringing at the five town centre churches on the 23rd during the morning. So that's St Matthew's, starting at 9:30. Then moving on to St Lawrence, which is the world's oldest ring of five bells, completed in around 1490. Then St Mary le Tower and St Margaret's, finishing up with St Clement's just before lunch.
Wonderful. So, as I was saying, it's always nice, particularly at this time of year, to hear the peals of bells across the East Anglian countryside. Now, for folks who'd like to get involved with bell ringing in general, how can they best go about that?
So bell ringing is a very open hobby. We welcome people right across the social spectrum and different ages as well. I regularly ring with people who are 10 years old up to people who are 80 years old. So it's a very we're a very diverse group of people, and also people of religion, both who are religious, who go to church, and those who don't as well. So ringing is a very separate activity, but one that's great to get involved with. So people can, if they know their local band, that's the ideal way to get involved. If you hear the bells ringing or know that there's a regular group in your village, just go along and or speak to the person in charge, and they'll no doubt be interested to hear that you'd like to take it up. Or you can go to our website, which is suffolkbells.org.uk, and then there's some contact details on there, and we can point you in the direction of your nearest tower where you could start to learn to ring.
That's great. I'll ask you for those details again a little bit later on in our conversation. Now, I've always found that going along to one of the towers, and you know, you've got the bell ringers there, it's a very welcoming atmosphere. That's what I've always found. Whichever tower you go to, you're literally, you know, welcomed with open arms to get involved.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, bell ringing is a bit like a fraternity. Once you're in, you're welcomed wherever you go. And a big part of ringing is ringing at other places. So if you're on holiday in England or wherever there are bells, you can look up online if they're having their practice night, or again, just listen out and go along, and you'll be welcomed with the usual questions of where do you ring and what do you ring, and then you take part in the practice just like any other member. So the social side is a big part of it. Certainly the groups I'm involved with take that very seriously. We've recently had our Christmas party, and we're now planning future outings. And it's intrinsically a social activity, no matter how good of a ringer you are. You always need five other people, seven other people. So it requires us to work together.
Now, I've mentioned this before, that one of my uncles, actually, Roy Woodard, he rang in many, many towers across the East Anglian region, and he always used to tell me how enjoyable it was. Is it something which is difficult to learn, would you say?
Yes, absolutely. The process of learning to ring should not be underestimated. Really, it's a lifetime endeavour. There's always something new to learn. It could be described as akin to learning to drive. So it's that kind of application you have to apply. It's not just pulling on a rope any old way. It's very much all about technique. The early stages of being able to handle a bell just on your own, I would expect to take anywhere between 6 weeks to 6 months, or even longer, depending on how frequently you practice or have training sessions. Then once you learn to handle a bell on your own, then you ring with other people. So then you've got to control the timing of your bell in line with everyone else. And then once you've conquered that, you then look at learning different methods, which are the bell ring equivalent of tunes. So these are mathematical permutations that we memorise. So it's a test of both the physical element of being able to control your bell, having the good technique, and the more cerebral element of learning these new methods. And then you can go on to ring for long lengths of time. So a quarter peal is about 45 minutes worth of continuous ringing, or a peal, which is approaching 3 hours of continuous ringing.
Now, I would say that what you've described to us, would this be termed as change ringing?
It is, yes. Yeah, so change ringing is the unique way in which bells are rung in England. So it developed after the Reformation in the late 1500s, early 1600s. Bells, which were now no longer part of the religious ceremony, having switched from Catholic to Protestant, they developed or continued to hold their more civic role. So they were rung to mark the passing of the day or celebrations of different events, opening of markets, various different things. So they had a role within their local community, and that's why they survived on after they were no longer part of the actual church service. So bells were rehung on wheels, complete wheels, and that meant the bells could swing 360 degrees, so from mouth upwards to mouth upwards. And when the bell reaches the top of its swing, that's when the bell can pause. So you can either decide to pull a little bit sooner or a little bit later, and that means each ringer can then control the timing of their bell. The direct result was the invention of change ringing, so the sound of bells being struck one after the other in an equal pattern, and then that pattern changing each time the bells are struck.
It sounds very interesting. Now, talking of the bells themselves, the casting of the bells, I would imagine it's a very exacting art, and there can't be too many organisations, companies across the UK. I think there's one in Loughborough, isn't there, that get involved with recasting bells and repairing bells. Mm. It must be a quite a costly process, I would think.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, bell sounding has been going on in Britain for probably a thousand years, or certainly 800 years at least. But yes, you're right. Over time, the number of bell foundries has reduced as the demand has reduced for new bells. So there's one purpose-built bell foundry, which, like you say, is at Loughborough. And there's a few other places which can cast bells alongside other precision-founded pieces of metal, such as ship propellers or other types of high-precision items. They can also be amended to cast bells. But and there's a few places in Europe as well. But yes, it is nowadays a high-precision science, but still based on the same techniques that were used hundreds and hundreds of years ago here in East Anglia. Almost every big town had its own bell foundry. So Ipswich had some, Bury, Norwich, Downham Market, various other places across the region had their own bell foundries. So it's the same techniques that they used that are being used today in Loughborough, but have been very slightly amended to make the best possible product that there is. And bells nowadays can be welded as well. So in the 1960s, the Welding Institute in Cambridge came out. It's copper and tin, about 23% tin, 77% copper, a method to weld them so that when they did become cracked, our heritage wasn't lost. You could repair bells that are hundreds of years old and very important to the heritage of a parish.
That's certainly very interesting. Now, the bells themselves, a lot of people always imagine bells are in a belfry, but of course, East Bergholtz have a bell cage, don't they, which is rather different.
Yes, that's right. So it's a unique setup in the unique world of ringing. So there, for those that know the history of the church, the tower was started but never completed, so they didn't have anywhere to hang their bells. But they went ahead and had some cast anyway, and they were hung in this cage in the churchyard, which I'm sure was deemed to be a temporary measure. But some 500 years on, it's still there. So the bells are rung by hand, so they do not use ropes. And the ringers move the what's called the headstock of the bell, which is the bar across the top or the piece of wood across the top that the bell hangs off. And they're also the largest ring of five bells hung for change ringing in the world. So they are a particularly large set, weighing well over a ton for the largest bell. So they're quite a sight to see them ring. And they do ring regularly, so they are part of our guild. And they ring for services, and they practice as well to bring new ringers on. But yes, it's a very unique element. But I would encourage people; they're always happy to have visitors along to watch them ring.
Yes, you mentioned visitors. Certainly, I've been and seen this bell cage on many, many occasions, and once again made very welcome. And everybody is so enthusiastic. That's what came across to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've got a unique setup there, so they're keen to preserve it and to show it off to the world, and yes, keep it going, which is very pleasing that they have a band that is capable to keep ringing them after all these years.
Certainly. Now, I'm going to ask you for the contact details for the Suffolk Guild of Ringers for people wanting to find out more of how they can become involved. But can we literally once again give out that information as regards to the peals of bells in the Ipswich area?
Yes, certainly. So, yes, our Christmas ringing in Ipswich is being held on the morning of Saturday, the 23rd of December. So we're starting at St Matthew's at 9:30, so they're a ring of six, then going on to St Lawrence at 10:15, and then St Mary Tower and St Margaret at the same time at 11 o'clock, finishing up at St Clement's by the waterfront at 11:45.
That's great. And once again, Neil, how can people find out more about the Suffolk Guild of Ringers? What's the best way to get the information?
They can go to our website, which is suffolkbells.org.uk, or they can email me, pro@suffolkbells.org.uk.
Hey, Neil, that's absolutely great. Thank you once again for joining us live on East Point Radio. I know we've spoken a number of times in the past, and it's always so interesting to hear all about the Suffolk Guild of Ringers. So many, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And can I wish you and yours the very best for Christmas and the New Year, if it's not too early to say that.
Thank you very much.
OK, Neil, thank you very much. There, we've been talking to Neil Dodge from the Suffolk Guild of Ringers, all part of our series
Anglia
In Focus
here on East Point Radio. And this is FR David and Words.